Good morning, and welcome to We've Been Everywhere. We have a first this time. I don't think we've ever had a married couple presenting at the same time before. Today's speakers are Sean and Val Kinder. Sean has been with us since January of 2001, and he is the librarian for Humanities and Social Sciences. Val took the time-honored tradition of becoming a student worker and then joining us later on. She is our late-night circulation supervisor and has been since spring of 2016. Today, they are here to talk about her homeland and one of Sean's favorite places to visit, Normandy. So if you would, please welcome Sean and Val Kinder.
Well, thank you all so much for coming. We're going to kind of trade off. I'm going to start by giving you a little overview of Normandy, then Val's going to talk about a couple places, and then I'm going to wrap it up. So, as you can see there, we're going to take a look at Normandy. Valerie actually took this photo. This was taken from Mont Saint-Michel, and that's a little island in the distance, Tombelin. This is a picture. This is a map of France. France is roughly the size of Texas, and we're going to be focusing on this area, these areas here, primarily Basse Normandy, which is Lower Normandy, and there's Upper Normandy. And I had to say, Kath had asked me a question about Rouen, and I'm going to be talking about that, and I had told her wrong. I told her it was in Lower Normandy. It's actually in Upper Normandy. So Rouen is the capital of Normandy, and that's the only thing really we're going to be talking about today about Upper Normandy. So we're going to be focusing primarily on this pink or purple area here, Lower Normandy. All right. Normandy is actually comprised of these five different departments. These two are Upper Normandy, so we're going to talk just very briefly about those. And these three areas are where we're going to focus most of our attention. Normandy represents around 3 million plus people. It's the ninth most populated region in France. And it's a very popular place to live for many British people. They come across the channel. So much so that in Calvados, in Manche, there are even schools where they've opened British schools where it's totally in English. When I was there last summer, I was in a little town during the market day, and you heard English everywhere. And they're the school children, native British students. The French are not very happy about that, of course, because they want them to be learning French, but they're teaching them English, of course. And the French, of course, call them the roast beef. Not a very flattering term. Anyway. This area here is the only one of the five which is really losing population. Okay? The others are pretty much staying as they are. All right, this shows you what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to be talking about Deauville, where I lived, and Honfleur, and Rouen. And Valerie's going to be talking about Mont Saint-Michel and the Chausey Islands. And very few people really know much about the Chausey Islands, so it'll be a treat for you to kind of learn about that. But you can see the areas that we're talking about. All right, Norman traits or stereotypes. Every region of France has their stereotypes, and the people from Normandy are considered indecisive, suspicious, pragmatic, adaptable, cold, and reserved at first, but once your friend, a friend for life, greedy, prudent, argumentative, and a lot of them like to claim their Viking blood, and there are actually quite a few people there with blonde hair and blue eyes, something we don't often associate with France, maybe, because we think of dark hair and all that, but that is maybe a trait from the Vikings, although more people claim to have that Scandinavian blood than actually do. These are some images, just quick. We have over 100 slides here. We're not going to talk about every one. I'm just going to be really quick about it, but these are some images associated with Normandy. This is Etretat, and Monet, the Impressionist painter, painted this many times. You've probably seen it. That's in Upper Normandy. I've never been there. I want to go there. So we're not going to be talking about that too much, but that's a symbol of France. The cow, of course, this brown and white cow is very characteristic of the cows in Normandy. And of course, with the cows, they have a lot of dairy products, so they're known for their cheeses and their creams and such. This is Calvados, which is the name of the department, also the apple brandy that's very popular in the region. And of course, anything relating to apples is a sure symbol of Normandy. Okay. This is overlooking Omaha Beach. Val's going to be maybe talking a little bit of, very briefly about Utah, or maybe not. This is a cemetery. It's the Normandy American Cemetery. This is actually American soil. It's maintained by Americans. And it is overlooking, as I mentioned, Omaha Beach, which was the bloodiest, the most brutal battle. Most casualties for that landing. You can see how perfectly in line the crosses are, and if it's a Jewish soldier, then he or she has the Star of David. But you can see how perfectly aligned they are, and that's not by accident. There is an underground apparatus that keeps them perfectly aligned. Okay? And they're very, very concerned about maintenance. I mean, the people come over from the United States every year and they clean, it's beautiful. Other things symbolic or representative of Normandy, this is called bocage, and you see this often in the countryside. These are these little irregular fields that are enclosed by hedges, sometimes trees. That's very, very, very much representative of Normandy. You see that all the time in the countryside. Also, the half-timbered homes. These are more prevalent in Upper Normandy, but I saw them all the time in Lower Normandy where I lived. And also the white stone houses. And Valerie's parents live in one of these type of homes here. And of course, the walls are so many inches thick, you really feel secure. They really insulate very well. So those are some representative things of Normandy. All right, I'm going to hand it over to Val.
So I will not talk as fast as Sean, but this is the region for my dad is born at Marcelegrève. It's not that. Just here. And all my family, for generations, has lived there. I can go back I have a gap, but I can go back until Hastings. But they were not knights or anything like that. They were just peasants following because they were dependent on the Mont Saint-Michel, which was, I don't know what you say in English, but a seigneury. And one of the duke of the Normandy who attended the battle with William brought all his overnights, and they had, if you look at the Bayeux tapestry, you have all these knights with their horses and all the material, and they had cooks and they had people serving them all the time. So the name is Dodman, the name of my ancestors, and we know he was there just because people of the Abbey did some research. A lot of documents are gone now because of World War II, but they settled in a little town of Montjoie, just across the channel of just here, this area. And there is still Dodman there. So, So what I will be talking about is about this area, because it's the area I know the best. I have lived there with my parents, and I spent my vacation there, and I just crossed this area many, many times. Where you are here, you can see from where my dad is born. Keep in mind the Genet thing, this one, because it's a point of departure. So this is the view from Avranches. Avranches is just, because you don't think you can see the Mont-Saint-Michel from here, but in fact, you can see the Mont-Saint-Michel with, from all this area. So Avranches is here. It's on the rocks. On rocks, it's higher, so it's the reason why you can see very well. And the following are from where my dad is born. So that's the view he had when growing up. So different times of the... You don't see very well, but you can just... Yeah, the Mont-Saint-Michel is here, and Tomblaine is here. And it doesn't look like it, but it's a long walk from here to here. I wanted to show you my cousin.
So when we go, we get in trouble.
He's say, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the military, and in France, when you retired, he retired at 35 because he did his time there. And in France, you are allowed, you are entitled to a second job. And he got this job as chief of the security at the Mont-Saint-Michel. It's a small team, but now with last events in France, they added some military people. So now they are more than, before they were 10 or 15 people, and now it's more than 150 people there.
Wow.
So it's me, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my cousin. So, the Mont, I will not talk about, I will not be talking about the Mont-Saint-Michel itself, so the story is too long, but I will be talking about the area around, the environment, and, because it's a very, very interesting place, and people visit the Mont-Saint-Michel, but they don't think around it, what is around it. This is the Mont from above because they did some work on it last year. They started in 2015 and it was finished last year. And now the Mont-Saint-Michel is an island again. It means that when the tides are high, the higher, it's surrounded by water. Like that. So this is the new shuttle. Apparently, they don't work very well. Yeah. So you can cross the bay, because it's the bay of the Mont-Saint-Michel, and you can cross by foot or by horses. And they have also some types of vehicles for handicapped people. The Mont-Saint-Michel has always been a place for pilgrimage from the Middle Ages. It stopped during the 19th century because it became a jail or a prison. So the abbey was just closed. There weren't any monk during the 19th century. Maybe at the beginning, but they started to come again, I think, at the end of the 19th century. But the more recent one, the actual monks and nuns, I think they are there still the 70s. But before that, it was a site of pilgrimage, And the main one, it was on the way to Saint-Jacques-de-Compostelle.
Compostela is the pilgrimage site there in Spain.
People, pilgrims from Northern Europe and Germany, and they went through France, and they stopped at the Mont Saint-Michel. And you had different ways to cross and to go to the Mont Saint-Michel or Tomblaine. And we don't cross generally this area because it's considered very dangerous, so you have to have a guide, and the main roads, the main paths are these two ones. You can go directly to Mont Saint-Michel or just stop by Tomblaine, and the walk from Bec-Danden from to Tomblaine is about 3 hours.
Wow.
And to go to Mont Saint-Michel, it's 5. And they say that it's Le Chemin du Paradis, the paradise roads. And you have this sign, the shell, the scallop shell. It's the symbol of Saint-Jacques de Compostelle. And you have this shell all along the road that lead toward Saint-Jacques. And if you see this shell, it means that you are on the right path. And it also means that if you get this shell on your house, it means that you welcome pilgrims. So you can stop, if you are a pilgrim, you can stop anywhere where you see this shell. And this is here because the Mont Saint-Michel is a place of pilgrimage and is on the road of Saint-Jacques. So people are crossing the grève. It's like sand beaches. I couldn't find the translation in English for grève.
It doesn't really translate. The best was like it's a sandy beach. It's a different type of beach, but just another word for a sandy beach.
Is it rocky?
She asked if it's rocky.
Not really. This part is not. It's a sand, silt, and clay.
Oh.
You're probably wondering why they're walking in the water.
Yeah.
Because they have to start walking in the water to have enough time when the tide goes out for them to get there. If they don't start walking, they wait till the tide is out, they're not going to have enough time to get to their destination before the high tide comes in. So they actually have to start walking when it's like that.
When you live in this part of Normandy, you have to look at the tides, the schedule of the tides every day.
Wow. What's the shortest distance from the land to the mountain?
The shortest, it must be something like 10 kilometers, 7 miles.
So it's farther away than it looks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to walk in that.
Yeah.
So this is an amulet, or in French we say enseigne. It's the type of little object that was like a souvenir. Now today you buy, a mug or something like that, and people in the Middle Ages, they just bought this little thing to have a memory or something from the place they went. So you have different ones. This one was St. George, and this one in St. Michael. And they generally wore this little amulets on their outfits, and you could see where they went. And this is a little booklet you get when you are a pilgrim and you want to go to the Mont Saint-Michel by the roads. So walking there, not getting your car or taking the shuttle. So you have some places you stop, and they just stamp your booklet. And when you went through all the places, you get this little diploma, the Miklos, this word is a pilgrim who got to the Mont Saint-Michel. Mm-hmm. It's a Michel Michael Miklos, yeah. So Tomblaine is the little rock just maybe 5 kilometers from Mont Saint-Michel. It depends where you are from, where you start from. If you start from Genet, we saw earlier, or if we start the other side of Mont Saint-Michel. And this small rock was a very difficult experience for the French because it was occupied by the British or the English during the Middle Ages, and it was owned by the English until the 18th century. There were battles all the time for this little rock. And it seems like nothing today, but at some point, they built in the 11th century, there was a little church, some wood thing, you know. It was two monks, hermits. They lived there for some time and created this little church. And then the English came and built a type of fortress. So it's not a true, a realistic one. It was found at La Tour de Londres, the London Tower. But it was meant to look like something that may have been built there. So now it's just a rock, and it's a bird sanctuary. So you can't go there any time of the year. You have some months you can't go there.
Because they're worried about you destroying the eggs, yeah, and things like that, so you have to be very careful.
This is a character, a personage, in a way. We don't know really who he was. He was living in the Mont Saint-Michel Bay, and he was named the Marquis de Tomblaine. He wasn't a Marquis at all. he was just an eccentric, and but he was very well spoken. He was people just listened to his stories. He had a lot of stories and legends, and but the thing is, he was living on Tomblaine as an hermit, and he loved to just not cross the bay during the lower tides, but swim in the bay, and it's very dangerous. And the thing is, one time he just went for a walk. He got caught in quicksand, and just they found him dead the following day, not because of a quicksand, but because he drowned. This little plan was an idea from a young gentleman in the beginning of the 20th century. He wanted to create a resort on Tomblaine. So he wanted to build a casino, and a hotel, some, he had a drawing. He drew that, and he wanted it to become something to make money with, I suppose, but it didn't work. The government didn't allow that, so it stayed like that.
Val, how big is Tomblaine?
Oh, it's very small. I think it's, I have to look at it, but maybe 2 or 3 kilometers.
Oh my goodness.
That's, yeah, it's very, very small.
Strategic.
And what is interesting around the Mont Saint-Michel is there is all an entire ecosystem with animals, with the plants, and humans as well. And what is interesting is you think that it's not very, there is not a lot of variety, but in fact, there is. You just have to look. And the landscape is always changing. It's never the same. Every day it changes. You can't see the same thing every day. Because the sand is moving, the water is moving, the geography is changing all the time. This is the way they grow.
Trap.
I don't know if they trap them, but yeah, they do. But mussels, and you have a lot of this. We say park, and it's just covered during the high tides, and then you can see them when the water go down. So you have different types. And you have a lot of protected animals and birds, especially. Different. I don't have everyone's, but. You have dolphins. You have they have a colony. Recently it was 53 dolphins in the bay. And seals. And sometimes you have some whales that issue.
I'm sorry, what now?
The whales that issue, sorry.
Oh, the whales will sometimes get beached.
So Les Grèves, I don't have any translation, so it's the area around the Mont Saint-Michel. And in the bay, you have three different rivers that just go into the bay. And this is the type of sand and silt and clay, it's a mixture. You have to work on that. And you can see the sediments here. It's a nice place for geology as well. And this type of sand is called the tongue. And it can be very thick, like rocks. And it's a mixture of shell, a piece of shells, piece of rocks and clay and and this is what it does. So you have to be well fit to cross the bay because it's very difficult to walk on that. People play with that. So you remember the Marquis de Tomblaine? He was caught in some quicksand and just couldn't get out. And maybe he was a little drunk too. So because you have a technique to get out that. You can't die by just sinking into quicksand. It's just you have to know how to get out. But this Marquis de Tomblaine's adventure just was taken by the popular culture, and you had some artists who were interested. So this one is at the Mont Saint-Michel, and you even in 1908 had a movie, a silent movie, and it was very scary, and it started the big legend about quicksand.
Is there a lot of quicksand, or just
there is a lot? Yeah.
So why would they allow people to go?
Because it's not that dangerous, but
it pulls you down, but not all the way down.
The more dangerous is not the quicksand, is the water, And the fact that when you have a fog, you don't know where you are. So
you'll see from the video, Leslie, how it works. But it pulls you down, but not all the way down. What happens if you can't get out, then the tide comes back, and then you're out.
I don't know if you see, but it's just like a mattress, a water mattress. It's fun.
It's fun.
Oh my god.
Oh wow. So they're wearing coats, Val. Do people do this year round?
Oh yeah. She explains how to get out of that. You have to move because you have to make the water just because it's a mix of water, sand, and clay, and in suspension, and there is water between sediments, and it's the Archimedes thing, you know, when you, it pushes you. I will show you something to be easier, but you move, you try to move your yeah, so that the water just
keeps,
yeah, and then you try to.
Oh my gosh. That was the guy.
Yeah.
She was showing them.
So I will go faster. Another thing that is very dangerous, it happens generally once a day, one time a day. The name is the mascare. It's a wave. And people are doing some kayaking on it. But you have to be very careful about that. I will forward. Just because it takes 6 minutes. It's really 6 minutes. But I don't show you the 6 minutes, but it's just for you to understand how fast it goes. So it's very quiet. There's always wind in Normandy. So they're starting to see the wave coming. And you don't want to be on the bay when it happens.
Does the time stay every single day?
It's 6 minutes.
But every single day?
Every single day you have a wave. It can be fast like that, or it depends the coefficient of the tide.
Wow.
This one was a relatively big one.
Oh, Oh, so it's not just the tide coming in. There's
That's not the tide. That's the mascara. Yeah, it's
That's just
so
a special
weird.
Wave that comes in once a day.
So when you walk,
it's totally unrelated to tide.
When you walk on the beach, it's related to tide.
Well, related, but
it's not the same thing. Huh. It's just a wave. I'm not a geographer. I can't explain you why it does that, but it's very impressive when you are there. So I will go very fast because I know. So we started. This area is very good for ships, because this is So this is for the Tour de France. They are not like that all the time. In Normandy, they love bike. So when the Tour de France comes through, he passed by the Mont-Saint-Michel. So they just wanted to do something nice. And I don't know if the ship were. So it's the colors of the shirt, you know, the yellow shirt, the winner of the little dots, the red dots. It's the better camper, the one you. Yeah. So they are around in the bay. They are doing whatever they want. Sometimes they draw.
They allow them to go in the.
Because you have some shepherds there, but they are not there all the time. They try to keep them. You have dogs as well, but generally the one I see all the time are just free to go. You know, they have some. They have some signs on their. It depends. Sometimes it's on their fur. Sometimes it's on. The ear, or because it's they belong to different owners.
So don't they get caught in the quicksand too?
They don't go that far into.
They are
around the bay where they are looking for grass.
But
this grass is very particular. This grass is very different because. It's covered by the water very often. Not every day because it depends on the tide, but for example, this one, you know, the lady was just, I don't know where when it was, but the night was like that.
Oh, wow.
So all the grass the sheep are eating are covered by this water, and it's not entirely salt water, because you have rivers, and with the bay, the
brackish
mixed with the salt water. Mm-hmm. So
right, it's called brackish.
And they eat this type of thing, so salicorn. We can eat that too. My dad loved to go there.
Last summer, my father-in-law was like, hey, he was pulling something. He's like, eat this. I'm like. I knew it was edible, but I didn't want to eat it. But
is it related?
It wasn't that good.
Is it related to asparagus? Is it related to asparagus? It kind of looks like.
I don't know. It does kind of look like. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not terrible, but it wasn't my cup of tea. But he kept pulling it and eating it.
Is it better if you cook it?
Yeah.
You can cook it, boil it.
Yeah. So the thing is, in this presalé, the salt marshes, you have a variety of plants they can eat. So they are very. It's a type of meat that is very appreciated, very expensive. So that's the type of different plants they eat.
That's what the sheep eat, or people mm-hmm. can eat it too?
Oh, you can too. The other ones, I know. The salicorn, yes. The other ones, I don't know.
And that's what gives their meat such a distinct flavor, and it's really highly prized in France.
So you can eat the salicorne with a nice stuff here,
yeah.
And then it's mouton du pré salé or agneau du pré salé, it's a lamb. Lamb and mutton. So in Normandy and in this area of Normandy, you never get angry. Because everything is free and you are just have to have some time because you have to go. You have to have some courage also. It's not easy. And you have to follow the tides. So it's not a new thing. And people love to just fish like that or just gather some shells and crabs and different types of fish. You have three types of people. You have the fishermen, the one who make a living doing that. So they don't have boats, but they just spend their day just harvesting what they can and they sell them on the market. And you have just people who do like that like a hobby. They love that. My dad does that. He loves that. I do too. And the other types of people, the one who are hungry and wants to, don't have any money to buy something, and you can go there and just. And they give you these little rulers because you can't harvest some too small shells. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful. There is some rules to follow. And for example, in the summer you can't you can't get this one. So oyster, scallops, ormo, I don't know what it is, and puce pie, I don't know. But you can get all these things in the bay. So oyster. So.
Do they have very many lobster?
No, you can't find them that there. You have to go to the Little Rocks because they are hiding under the road. So you have to. They have. It's like fishing anywhere. People know the places. And they don't tell
you. I bet they get lobster.
They find
a
spot.
People get the lobster pretty fast, right?
So it's how you cook them. Yeah, it's fun, so it's food. And
yeah, you get.
So we will go very fast in that. So this is Granville. You can take the boat there to go to the Île Chausey Islands. And the way you will see that the weather is very weird there. Because you live in the morning, it depends on the tide too. Because everything depends on the tide in Normandy. So it was a morning. It was, I think, already 8 years ago. 9 years ago, yeah, before I came, yeah. So it was not a pretty day at first, but you see the sun.
Yeah, Valerie took all these pictures.
Does it work anymore? Oh, yeah. And I took several that. My sister was very sick. Generally, when you take the boat, you don't get at the back. You don't get at the back, you get in the cabin.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see, I'm okay on board, so. But some people were very sick. And you get wet too. Okay. So this is the Chausey Island. You have a main island here, and a lot of little tiny ones. A long time ago, it was the coast. It wasn't an island. You didn't have water around, so it changed. So we go fast. High tide, low tide. You can go there, you can stay there. They have rooms, but not many, so there is a waiting list, 1 year generally. You arrive here with a boat, and then you do the tour of the island. A painter lived there, he did that.
Oh my gosh.
I go very fast, so sorry. So you have inhabitants there, maybe 55 people living there all year long. And then you have a lot of tourists. So the little church. It's a very interesting story too. And this is bed and breakfast. You can just rent these little houses for vacation. This one is not to rent, it's the owner there, inhabitants. This one is the semaphore, the signing.
The signal station.
Signal station. And the four, this one was finished to build in 1866, never get used of. It never, nobody never used it. But Chausey is like the Tomblaine. It was a war between British and French. And each time the French wanted to fortified the islands, the British came and just destroyed everything. And it was for maybe 500 years, something like that, yeah. So it's the fortress from above. So it's very interesting because it can rain at Granville, where we just left with a boat, and there it's always sometimes you take pictures, you think you are in a tropical island. Mm-hmm. You don't have a temperature, though.
Do many British people stay in the bed and breakfast there? Or is it mostly French?
Mostly French, okay. Yeah. This is the Renault Castle. It's interesting because the owner was the guy who made the cars, the Renault cars. And he bought the island in the 1920s. His wife was from Chausey. So he bought the island and he wanted something interesting. So he built this castle. But before, it was like that. So it started in 1922, and in 1929, it was like that.
I guess we say like Renault, you know, the Renault cars. It was the guy who, the big guy who created all the, produced all the automobiles.
You can't visit it, so it's too bad. And it's difficult to make the difference because until maybe 3 or 4 years ago, people thought that these things were just like these things, like just rocks. And because they are often covered by water, they didn't get a lot of interest. But after some time, they figured out that maybe it was something here. So they started to study that before it just get lost. And in fact, before the name is Cromlech. And apparently, it's some religious structure from, they say, Neolithic period.
Bronze Age. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So it's difficult to see because you have all these rocks and you don't know if it's the erosion or something that means, have meaning. This one has no meaning, it's the elephant, it's just the weather. And you still have some muscles.
And this was going to be my part of it, but now time is up, so I don't have to do it.
So we just got our first person for next year.
Yes, that's already done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, but she got the...
Well, if we have questions...
Yeah, it's supposed to be 45 minutes, but maybe I'll do it some other time. But I'm glad she got to talk to you, because she's a native. And
do we have any questions for Val?
Are most people involved in the fishing industry? Is that...
A lot of people, yeah. When you live around, because the Mont-Saint-Michel Bay, you have also the little towns around. I show you at the beginning on the map.
Yeah.
This, it's 50 or 60 little towns, and they are considered like a bay area, and all these people, they go there. I mean, my dad was, because they didn't have money when they were he was little, so that was a way to have something on the table, you know. They, and you, it started getting difficult to find some type of shells and shells. But generally, a lot of people do that. The high tide, you have a lot of people there. Because it's the time where you can go the furthest and you can reach some big crabs, you know, very interesting fish.
What's the weather like?
Generally rainy. It's cold.
Oh, it's a marathon climb and windy.
Yeah.
We were there, I was there one time in June, and I had to wear a sweater and a pullover or whatever. I was really upset. I'm like, this is June. I'm supposed to be able to enjoy the beach.
But sometimes you get beautiful sun and it changes the landscape and it's beautiful.
Sounds like San Francisco.
Yeah. They always say in Normandy, give it a few minutes and it'll change anyway. So.
Yeah. Do people live inside Mont-Saint-Michel besides the monks?
It's a city. It's a town. Yeah. There's about 100 people there. Yeah. And they vote. They have, it's a real city with a lot of problems because in the summer they have 20,000 people a day. Uh-huh. But it's very difficult to just go through these little tiny little streets. You can't. It's not easy. So I invite people to not go only in the Mont-Saint-Michel, but around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the crossing of the bay is very interesting to do. It's very nice.
Do tourists stay in the pretty little village that your dad grew up in? Because it looks like it was really situated really well, not too far from the beach.
Oh, yeah, but he doesn't know how to swim.
No.
And a lot of people live there, even fishermen, they never learn how to swim. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason why sometimes when they go into the water, you know, they just fall, they can't swim, so. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird, but yeah.
Thank you.